we started a new series. We are going to be talking about Noah and the ark and the flood for the next several weeks. Last week, I mentioned that as we get into this story, you have a decision to make. An important decision. I'm going to frame this with a story. Here's one man's decision. This fellow is a Christian writer, and this is how he sees Noah and the ark and the flood. He says, "As a child growing up in the church, I heard the flood story and naively accepted it as fact. It never occurred to me that it didn't happen exactly as described in Genesis. God saved Noah and his family and two of each animal, and I didn't even know there were such things as clean and unclean animals. It never would have crossed my mind that God killed every human and animal except those on the ark. Yes, God saved the eight humans on the ark, but if the story was factual, which it is not, God annihilated thousands, maybe millions of men, women, and completely innocent children. God was upset with the wickedness of humans. So God unleashed his wrath not only on humans, but on animals that were not guilty of wickedness. The Old Testament God was certainly indiscriminate in his wrath. After re-examining the available evidence, I am convinced that the Genesis account of the flood was not a historical occurrence. A God who would destroy the world and its inhabitants except for one righteous man and his family, who may not have been righteous, and a handful of animal species is not worthy of worship." This whole idea from this fellow fits in with something that I read on a website from a local church. The word that the church uses to describe themselves is a progressive church. And this was one of the lines that I saw in their welcome. They say, "We take the Bible seriously because sometimes it cannot be taken literally." So maybe you're wondering, what is the progressive church? What is this? Well, it's an idea that's popped up in different parts of Christianity, and the progressive church would deny the biblical creation account. This would include denying in Adam and Eve. It would also mean denying that there was a real fall of man to the corruption of sin. So they would deny original sin. They would deny the wrath of God and the flood story. They would also deny that Jesus is the only way to salvation. They would deny Jesus' work on the cross as a substitutionary atonement. And in the end, you're not left with Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Rather, you are left with a quest for personal transformation. That's the goal. Personal transformation. You're not being saved from sin, but you need to save you from yourself. That's the goal. Which really, in the end, is just works righteousness. This fellow and this movement, they take the Bible seriously because sometimes it cannot be taken literally. That's the decision you have to make. Is the Word of God Is our Bible the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God, or isn't it? These folks would say, no, it's not. The Bible is not the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. They take it seriously, but not literally. How about you? Do you take God at His word or not? For me, the more that I have been diving into God's word, and I do think it's God's word, the more that I have been diving into God's word, the more I have been leaning towards the most plain, simple, direct interpretation that you can get. No sidestepping, no hoops to jump through to get to your conclusion, no insanely complicated explanations, but simply and plainly, what does the Bible say, and do I believe it? That's a decision that we all have to make as we dive into this. So, we're going to start off with Genesis 6, 9 through 16. And after that, we are going to look at the rest of the chapter, 17 to 22. So, I'm splitting up the text into two different sections. So, let's pray, and then we're going to read the first section, Genesis 6, 9 to 16. Gracious God, we ask for your help today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, show us your will and your ways and show us the truth. We ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. This is the word of the Lord. So, we find out that Noah is a righteous man. He is a righteous man, and he is blameless among the people of his time. Was Noah perfect? No. Noah was not perfect. I think that we can see righteousness in two different ways here in this story. And throughout Scripture, that we can see righteousness in two different ways. Number one would be absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. This would be obeying every bit of the law that we read earlier. Every bit of it, obeying it in thought, word, deed, in action, and never messing up, never ever. There's only one that has been able to meet this standard. His name is Jesus. He's the only one, he is the perfect one, and for us, he was the perfect sacrifice on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the unblemished lamb who was slain. When it comes to absolute perfection, that's Jesus, and only Jesus. So that's one type of righteousness, the righteousness that only God has, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number two, I would call this the righteousness that Noah has. This is the righteousness of the saved. The righteousness of the saved. Obviously, God put a new heart in Noah. God put a new heart in Noah, and Noah responded to God's call in his life. We don't have the specifics, but at some point in Noah's life, he is turned himself away from sin and towards God, and he's now on a path with God. He is intentionally, actively living for God. Is he able to do this perfectly? No. This is the righteousness of the saved. He is working out his salvation with fear and trembling. Is he messing up along the way? Probably. Surely. Because he is fallen like the rest of us. And like us today, I'm sure that he repented of his sins, that he turned towards the Lord. He believed and he put his trust in God. And we find out that he walked with God. This is the righteousness of the saved. It's not perfection, but it's walking with the Lord, living in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, responding to God's work in his heart. Do you practice the righteousness of the saved? Has God given you a new heart? And have you responded to the Lord's call in your life? I remember when I first became a Christian, how I kind of started this walk with the Lord. The first thing for me when I started walking with the Lord is I started to think about all the stuff that I should not do any longer. And for me, it was walking away from cursing. I needed to stop drinking excessively like I had previously. And I had to work out the sinful sexual stuff in my life. I focused on the things that I needed to get rid of. But walking with the Lord is about more than just giving stuff up. It's about way more than that. So along with working on getting rid of those things in my life, I was also working on bringing some stuff into my life. The kinds of things that I was working on bringing into my life was Bible study, studying God's Word, prayer. How do I even do that? What does that even look like? How do I pray? I had to learn how to pray. What does it mean to pray with other people? I had to learn that too. What about speaking out loud when I'm praying with others? I had to learn that too. Church attendance. That was another part of the things that I started bringing into my life. Evangelism, telling other people about Jesus. I had to bring that into my life too. So I had things that I was getting rid of, and I had things that I was bringing in, but you know what? There's even more to it than that. There's even more to it than that. Walking with the Lord. The righteousness of the saved is doing everything that God calls us to do. Doing everything that God calls us to do. Why is Noah considered a righteous man? It's not because he's perfect, but it was because he was willing to do everything that God calls him to do. God has a plan to deal with the wickedness on the earth. The earth was full of violence. It was nasty. It was bad. I'm sure it was beyond anything that we can even start to imagine right now, just how evil things were getting. So God's plan was that all men, animals, and the birds of the air, they were all going to perish. But because Noah was a righteous man, God was going to save Noah and his family and called him to build an ark. A number of years ago, I joined a couple of friends on a bicycle ride. We went down to Kansas City, Missouri, and we unloaded our bicycles on a rail trail that followed the Missouri River. And we rode from Kansas City almost all the way to St. Louis. It was a great trip, but there was one kind of cool part about it that we did not expect. On the Missouri River, right along the rail trail that we were on, were all kinds of different barges. These barges were getting pushed down the river, and you know what? They were going about the same speed as we were. So we kind of felt like we were racing the barges down the Missouri River. When you think about the ark, don't think about a modern cruise ship, that kind of thing. The ark really wasn't a boat like what we think of when we think of a boat or a ship. The ark was more like a barge. You know, ships have sails, they have rudders. And, you know, a ship will have, the front of the bow will come together so it'll cut through the water. But not a barge. A barge is just a rectangle. And that's what the ark is. The ark is more like a barge, a rectangle. I found an interesting story this week about the Smithsonian Institute. I'll read it for you. When thinking about the ark, the Smithsonian asked, could this thing float? Four scientists from Europe reported this. And this is from their perspective. They say, you don't think of the Bible necessarily as a scientific, accurate source of information. And I think to myself, well, of course they don't think that the Bible it has any scientific accuracy. Of course they don't. But they continue by saying, I guess we were quite surprised when we discovered it would work. With its size, the wood needed, the payload of animals and supplies, it would float. But unfortunately, in the end, they were not convinced of God and Noah's ark. But they were comforted to know that if sea levels rise, an ark of that magnitude made of gopher or cypress wood, lined inside and out with pitch, could float. And by their calculations, they figured that it could hold the weight of over 2 million sheep. That's a lot of sheep. What's interesting is it's right in front of them. But yet they still deny God and they deny the story of the ark. I have a graphic that I found earlier last week to give you an idea of what was being described. It looks more like a barge than a ship, and you see that with the three different levels and the top on it. gives you a little bit of an idea of what it might have looked like on the inside. But according to the Smithsonian, it actually floats. And like they said, could hold lots and lots of sheep or whatever kind of animals you would pack inside of it. All right, let us move on to the next section of Scripture here. We are looking at verses 17 up to 22. All right, can we go up another, one more slide? I guess 17's back there yet? Okay, thanks. All right. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring it into the ark, two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. A couple of weeks ago, I heard about a new type of crime. It was a new idea that a crook had come up with. You know, on the news, you've seen people in large groups run into a store. We're talking, 15, 20 people run into a store. They grab everything they can, and the whole group runs out. That's one way of robbing a store. Another way you could rob a store is to go there at night. Maybe you bring a brick or a hammer with you, and you try to break into the store. Break down the glass, run inside, grab what you want, run out. Well, this new thing is like a whole nother level of evil. And what this crook did was they started out by carjacking somebody. So they went up to somebody, made them get out of their car, took the car, and then they took that car and drove to the store that they wanted to break into, and they just drove the car into the store, all the way into the store, and then hopped out of the car, grabbed what they wanted, and ran out. And I thought, man, there are many people today who are convinced that sin is nothing before God, that sin is no big deal. In the meantime, people are just creating more and more ways to be evil. Did the people of Noah's day have a chance at all? I know the claim from the progressive Christian that I read about earlier talked about the people that were drowned in the flood as being innocent. Is that true? Second Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was an ark builder, but he was also a preacher of righteousness. Gives us the picture that building the ark wasn't the only thing that Noah was doing, but he was telling people that they needed to repent, to turn towards the Lord. But nobody was listening. And this lines up pretty well with what we read in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, where Paul writes, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. And there is no fear of God before their eyes." And we also found out that this idea of original sin, that people are corrupted because of sin, this idea is shocking to people today. And when they think about the flood, they ask, how could God do this? How could God send people to hell? And they overlook just how corrupt humanity is and can be. And we see this playing out in the news in major cities. We see criminals that just get released from jail over and over and over and over again. And in some places, they're going to a no-cash bail system. So there's no bail needed. They can just get released. Commit a crime, get released. Commit another crime, get released. And we see that in some of the major cities, things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And it seems like people are just confused about what's going on. Well, it's sin. Noah, he was a righteous man. And by faith, being warned by God, he built the ark. And, like I said, he was a preacher of righteousness. He let people know. But they did not listen. So his instructions were to take his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives, and animals according to their kinds, and the birds, into the ark. And God made a covenant with Noah. The Lord will save him and his family. It'll be through Noah that the world will be repopulated, and through the animals on the ark that the earth will be replenished, and they will be given a future. This is a great dividing point in world history. Another one is coming. The choir sang about that. Jesus, he is coming again. And there'll be another day where those with faith and the faithless will be separated from one another. And at the end of this section, it says, Noah, the righteous man, he did everything that God commanded him to do. He was living every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And the question for us today is, how about you? Are you practicing the righteousness of the saved? Are you walking with God? I'll tell you what, I'm still working on it. I'll admit that I'm still on the way. I have come nowhere close to arriving. And I can look up to Noah because he had follow through. And there are times in my life when I do not have follow through. A couple of weeks ago, I went on an ice fishing trip. And all the people that went on this trip with me, they knew that I was a pastor. And as I was packing my stuff, I was like, you know what I should do? I should take my Bible with me, and every morning, I should get up and read a chapter in my Bible. That's one of my goals right now anyway. So, I took my Bible, I put it in my suitcase, I packed it first, I didn't want to forget it. Where did it stay the whole trip? On the bottom of my suitcase. And then when I got home, I'm unpacking my suitcase, and there, right where I put it, was the Bible that I had planned on getting out every morning to read. Like I said, I am on the way with all of this stuff. I hope that you are too. Trying to listen to the Lord and to do what He calls us to do. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank You for Your tremendous grace and Your mercy. Lord, we thank You for saving Noah and his family and continuing the human race so that we will be here today. And Lord, help us to follow in the footsteps of Noah and Abraham and David and the apostles and many others who have walked faithfully before us. Lord, may we follow their examples. Lord, help us to follow through with all of the things that You have called us to do. We ask You to give us help through the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.